Hello, everyone, and welcome to Employment Matters, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Pete Waltz. Today's a special day for our regular listeners. You know, it's Tuesday, and on Tuesday, that means Travel Tuesday. Each week, we get the chance to dial in our members from all around the world, and they share with us the important things we need to know about doing business in their jurisdiction. Today, we're going to be learning more about doing business in Korea. I'm pleased to welcome to the show Rob Flemmer and Youngjae Jung, attorneys at Kim & Chang. Rob and Youngjae, I'm excited to have you guys on the show today, and I want to get started. So, Rob, let's pick it up with you. Korea is an interesting place for the rest of us around the world. We see lots of your products. We hear a lot about it, but we don't know much about the structure. I know it's a small country with a huge economy, but we need more details. Can you fill our listeners in on kind of the basic overview of Korea, what we need to know?
Sure. And thanks, Pete. We're very happy to be here. I've lived in Korea for about 9 years now, and I have to say it's a very dynamic country. The Republic of Korea, aka South Korea, is a highly developed constitutional republic with a population of around 51 million people. Around 97% of those people are ethnically Korean, and Korean is the official language. Capital is Seoul, and the Seoul metropolitan area is by far the largest urban conglomeration in the country, and approximately 50% of the country's population lives in the Seoul area. There are many issues in Korea, but one issue that's been definitely dominating people's attention and is an ongoing social problem in Korea is that the population is decreasing. Korea currently has the lowest fertility rate in the OECD, and the average number of expected babies per Korean woman over her reproductive life has fallen to 0.78 in 2022. This is well below the replacement rate of 2.1 children per woman, and it's going to have serious implications for Korea in the coming decades. The economy of Korea is highly developed. It's a mixed economy, and it's largely focused on exports, with about 40% of GDP coming from exports. By nominal GDP, it has the fourth largest economy in Asia, and it fluctuates between the 10th and 12th largest in the world, depending on which source you consult. In 2021, the GDP was about 1.8 trillion US dollars. The economy is dominated by electronics, technology, heavy industry, and other export heavy industries. It also has an increasingly important IT and services sector with large players in messaging, gaming, and entertainment. The currency is the Korean won. For the government, the central departments and agencies of the Korean government deal with administrative affairs for the whole nation, with a range of jurisdictions covering all the provinces or regions of Korea. Korea is not a federal system. They are led by the country's president, and the prime minister acts as the head of the government and assists the president with supervision of the departments of the central government. Ministers at each department direct and supervise each one to execute plans that are determined by laws set by the National Assembly, which is a unicameral legislative body in Korea. The country's court system is headed by a Supreme Court, and there's also a constitutional court that deals with constitutional questions and issues.
So let's drill in deeper on those key industries, Youngjae. Tell us more about what makes Korea tick from an economic and business standpoint.
Sure, thank you. Korea's key industries are electronics, automobiles, telecommunications, shipbuilding, and entertainment. First of all, Korea is among the largest manufacturer of electronic goods as well as semiconductors, with global brands such as Samsung Electronics, LG, and SK Hynix. Also, Korea's automotive industry is highly developed and has significant capacity for automobile production. Korea is the fifth largest automobile manufacturer in the world. Some of the well-known Korean brands are Hyundai and Kia. Additionally, Korea's government support has made the country one of the most active markets for telecommunications and information technology. It is a booming mobile market and has one of the highest number of subscribers to broadband services per capita and has some of the fastest internet speeds in the world. Furthermore, Korea is the leader in shipbuilding. The top four out of the top eight shipbuilding enterprises in the world are Korean companies, with Hyundai Heavy Industries being the largest. Last but not least, Korea also has a leading entertainment industry, and it's becoming more and more famous with the rapid rise of the Korean wave, which in Korean is called Hallyu. Global awareness and popularity of Korean culture entertainment, and music, K-pop is rapidly growing, led by two of the most famous Korean bands, BTS and Blackpink.
So let's talk about employing people in Korea. I mean, there's so much business coming out of Korea, and there's a lot of Hyundai and Kia and Samsung manufacturing plants all around the world. But let's turn it around a little bit. Let's say we're a European company or an American company that wants to employ locally in Korea. Rob, fill us in on what some of the key structural issues we need to know about when we employ locally in Korea. Are there works councils or unions or any equal opportunity issues we need to deal with? What do you have to say?
It's been a very busy area of the law, labor and employment law in Korea, and I'd say the last 5 to 10 years. There are labor unions in Korea, and in fact, Korea's unionization rate has increased from a consistent base of around 10% to approximately 14% in the last 4 years, and it appears to be on the rise increasingly. For companies with 300 or more employees, the unionization rate is around 46%. The previous presidential administration that went out of office a little over a year ago encouraged unionization, and labor unions have been successful in attracting new members, as well as unionizing industries that had traditionally not been unionized, like the IT industry. The current administration has turned its focus, and they're from the opposite party, so they've turned their focus towards increasing flexibility in the labor market while seeking to maintain fairness for management and labor, as well as worker protections. And the current administration aims at more flexibility in working hour management and wage systems, with the goals of creating more jobs for younger people and enhancing employment security for older workers. Turning back to the previous administration, they've also focused, and it was one of their platforms for their election, to pass more employee-friendly laws. So they imposed with the National Assembly and created a strict limit on working hours, which is 52 hours per week. And that includes up to 12 hours of overtime. And that applies to most workers, except for managers, as well as representative directors like heads of companies. They also implemented workplace harassment prevention. Korea has a workplace harassment law, which is pretty unique, and more generous leave benefits for parents and families, like childcare leave, paternity leave, family care leave, going back to the declining population again. Employers are still adjusting to the limitations placed on working hours, as well as increased number of harassment and other complaints by employees, and the other results of these labor law changes. Other existing labor and employment laws also tend to be employee-friendly, such as a strict just cause requirement for disciplinary action, which includes termination of employment, limitations on the use of what we call irregular workers, which are your fixed-term workers, your temporary or dispatch workers from agencies, and contractors. There's also mandatory statutory severance and annual paid leave benefits for companies with 5 or more workers.
So this is a question we always ask our members, because again, which you just described, Rob, is there's a lot of programs that are starting to enhance the employee experience, but that hasn't always been the case, especially when you've got large enterprises and lots of other international pressures to meet prices and everything else. So Youngjae, I want your opinion. If we were looking at a scale here and we had to look at the general business climate in Korea, would it be tipping more towards pro-business or more towards the pro-employee in your jurisdiction? What do you think?
Generally speaking, as Rob pointed out, Korean labor law is quite pro-employee. Employers face many requirements under labor law that render the labor market rather inflexible. For example, employer with 5 or more employees must have just cause to discipline an employee, including termination of employment. Just cause is not defined under the law, but 3 bases are recognized in general. First, repeated or serious act of misconduct. Second, poor performance. Or third, urgent business necessity that would support a layoff of employees. This is a strict standard with a high level of proof required. Another example is the rules of employment, which all employers with 10 or more employees must prepare and then file with the Ministry of Employment and Labor. The rules of employment sets forth the minimum working conditions affecting the employees. When establishing the rules, the employer must obtain the comments from the majority of the employees. Then, for any changes that are made to the rules, the employer must either obtain consent for disadvantageous changes or obtain comments for neutral or advantageous changes from the majority of the employees. But if there is a labor union representing the majority of the employees, the employer must obtain consent or comments from that union. However, the general business climate in Korea is more balanced, with a great emphasis on staying at the forefront in key industries such as technology, entertainment, and mobility. All stakeholders recognize that Korea is heavily reliant on trade and especially high-value exports for its prosperity.
So let's talk about the cross-border issues within the region. And, you know, for many of us around the globe, the COVID pandemic changed a lot of things about people working from home, not going to the office. But it also opened up opportunities for people to move to other locations and work from home. And I'm curious in Korea what some of the prospects are for cross-border business opportunities between companies. Has that improved? And particularly for employees, what are some of the immigration standards? Is it easy to get into Korea and work there or difficult? Any special programs or anything for expats? Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a good point about COVID because we've, you know, only relatively recently normalized things on the immigration front when it comes to entering Korea. There were a fair number of restrictions and it was difficult to get in, especially as a tourist during COVID. It really wasn't possible. But overall, Korea's immigration standards are relatively strict. Korea has been adjusting its immigration standards to focus more on attracting highly educated, talented individuals who can contribute to its technology sectors and other sectors, and also wealthier individuals. The visa system also allows for businesses to bring in foreign managers to run their operations in Korea. And Korea also has visa waiver arrangements with certain countries, such as the US and Canada, many EU countries, and other trade partners, which allows for travel to Korea to attend meetings and other liaison type activities. But if you're going to do any revenue generating activity, you normally would have to get a business visa for that. And so there are cross-border opportunities that are available, so long as they're of significant importance or impact. And, you know, just even personally, I'm on a visa, obviously, in Korea. And it's basically based on my skills as a California licensed attorney and experience in California that I brought with me here. There are opportunities along those lines too, as long as the business is able to sponsor you, like Kim and Chang has been able to do for me.
Well, it sounds like that worked out pretty well for you, Rob.
It has.
It has. How about that? Well, guys, this has been fascinating. Again, Korea was a mystery at the beginning of the conversation to me in many ways, and now I'm a lot clearer. I know our listeners are as well. So thanks so much for sharing some time with us. It's been a very interesting discussion. Rob, Young Jae, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. It's been really great.
Thanks for having us.
If you'd like to connect with Rob or Young Jae, you can find their bios by clicking on their names in the description of this podcast. Also, please visit ela.law to receive invitations to our upcoming webinars, download white papers, get access to on-demand content from the online library, or use the ELA's exclusive Global Employer Handbook. You've been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Peter Waltz. Thanks so much for listening.